You've been listening to Mentoring Matters. Mentoring in today's business world with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson. If you have a question for Rainey, Dave, or their guests, please call us now at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to Mentoring Matters.
Well, good morning and welcome back, everybody. I'm Rainey Petrin, President of Manager Mentors, along with my colleague Dave Carson in the UK, and our two guests who've made this show very interesting, Sue LaChance, Director of Organizational Development, and Norma Gaffin, Director of Content, both from Monster.com in Maynard, Massachusetts. And, you know, just before the break, we were talking about networking and the importance of doing that. And one of the things I always tell people, and this is one of the things they do in our training course on finding a mentor, is to come up what I call a summary profile that you can use to share with people you're networking with to let them know who you're looking for. So that way you're getting the right person as opposed to just getting names. Sometimes we confuse the results with the process, and I think, you know, let me just read an example of one of the things you might hear somebody say who's looking for a mentor. If I was speaking to you, I might say, I'm looking for a mentor who is in the computer industry with about 5 years of varied experience. This person should be a female with children because learning how to balance family and work is important to me. In addition, I would prefer a mentor who's more collaborative in approach, who will be a good communicator, creative in ideas, and can provide me with the kind of supportive counseling I need to gain greater self-confidence. Now, if somebody makes that kind of a statement, at least you have a place to start as to who you might be able to refer them to. Any thoughts on that?
Well, as you're talking about that, one of the things I was just thinking about from your perspective is, what do you think, is it better to find a mentor within your company or outside of your company?
I think it varies based upon what you try to do. I think that my sense is if you really want to build a career in your company, it's probably best to find someone who's within, who knows the culture, who's navigated some of the issues that you might be facing, who knows the players very well, who can network you with other people. That would make the most sense. And I think probably a lot of employees, you know, want to stay in the company for long periods of time if the company is the kind of company they feel comfortable with. On the other hand, if I want to expand, I may need to look outside, and I may very well have two types of mentors, one that's inside and one that's outside, because, again, there's nothing that says I can't have two mentors, and I wouldn't go much beyond that, because at that point, then you're really engaging in probably too many relationships. What I mean by that is a true mentoring relationship, not a coaching one, but it's someone that I go to, have this long-term relationship with, who knows me much more intimately than the other people that I'm dealing with.
Now, Sue, I think one of the things you mentioned was what would we say to our mentors once they've said yes? Is there any sort of handy hints or tips that we could give to help people build the relationship? Is that something you want to explore?
Right, and I think sort of picking up on Norma's point earlier about that, you know, having a successful mentoring relationship means that you need to invest a fair amount of your own sweat equity, or, you know, your investment of your time, put forth a fair amount of effort. And part of that means that, you know, you're setting up this relationship with an understanding, you know, rules of engagement, if you will, so that the person who's agreed to be your mentor knows what it is that you're trying to accomplish, how he or she can guide you, what level of confidentiality are you seeking or needing, how frequently do you meet, you know, is it face-to-face, is it supplemented by the tools that we had been discussing earlier in the program. I think it's really important to understand, to put some guidance around what that relationship is all about.
I think that's a really good point. And, you know, certainly at the end of our training programs, when the formal programs, that is, when the mentors and mentorees go away for the first meeting, because they actually do that on the training program, I normally give them about 4 or 5 pointers that they want to discuss, apart from, you know, rapport building. Certainly, top of the list probably would be expectations. What are your expectations of what are the expectations of each other in this program? And you mentioned some of them, so, you know, how often should we meet, and where do we meet, how long do we meet for, and what are you expecting from me in terms of, you know, the input to the relationship. Confidentiality, very important, because if we go around a room in the class, you know, what's confidential to one person is different to another, so they need to, you know, work that one out. Another one, boundaries. You know, our boundaries can be infringed loads of ways. Is it okay to text my mentor? Is it okay to send an email, an instant message? You know, how would someone feel if they're being bombarded with emails? And I think also they really need to consider some sort of mentoring agreement or contract, so that when they set out, it's there. And if the relationship starts to move some way that they didn't think it was going in, they can go back to the mentoring agreement and find out where they were supposed to be going, because that can be lost over time. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that one, Rennie.
Yeah, I think what's particularly important is to discuss the question of how do I approach you when I have an issue that deals with how this relationship is not working for me. And particularly I think it's important for mentees to ask that question, because mentees tend to be intimidated to do this kind of, and I don't want to use the word confrontation, but at least to bring this challenge up to their partner. Because, you know, mentees tend to come to the table with the sense of, I've asked you to help me, you've been gracious enough to do so, I don't want to hurt your feelings, and I'm not, you know, so, and if I tell you something's not working, well, I may hurt your feelings. And in trying to spare your feelings, I'm actually probably, in some ways jeopardizing the relationship. So the reality is, if you spend the time at the very beginning setting up the ground rules with such a statement as, how do you want me to approach you in a way that makes sense to you, should I have a problem with what we're doing here, that tells you how to do it, and the mentor could then receive it in the way they can. And vice versa, the mentor should be asking the mentee the same question so that the mentee is not put off when the mentor wants to talk about an issue that may not be working for that person in the relationship as their mentor. And I can't emphasize how important that particular component is, as well as the idea of meeting regularly. And people may ask what the golden standard is if they haven't engaged in this before. And the golden standard in the industry is meeting every other week for about an hour to an hour and a half. And probably the least I would meet is about once a month for an hour to an hour and a half. If you meet only every other month or so, you're really not building a relationship, because it takes a while to do that. So you need a lot more frequency and length of time to make it work. And that's kind of what we would recommend as a model to look for.
Rainey, I'd like to pick up on, you know, I think the more difficult conversation is when things aren't going well. How do you address it? But on the flip side, I think it's also really important to give positive feedback to the mentor when he or she gives you some sort of guidance that allows you to be successful, because I think that sense of appreciation and sharing the glory or whatever can help feed and nurture that relationship as well. Because if it's all a take, it's not going to flourish, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, no, I think that's such an important point. And it's amazing when I go into a company, we do formal mentoring and we train people how to do this, and then I'll meet with them on a quarterly basis with the mentors, and they'll say, like, well, I'd like to know, you know, how I'm doing. And I ask, well, haven't you asked your partner? And they'll say, oh, I hadn't thought about that. It's like, well, that's really the person you need to ask, because they will tell you, or they should tell you. And we prep them to be able to do that. But it's amazing how people forget to do that. And you're right. Mentees need to give something back, and they give back by affirming what the mentors have done. And that is a powerful reinforcer for the mentor to do more. It really is.
We've talked about this before, Rennie, on other shows, and it's a good point that Sue brings up, because even on final evaluations, we ask the question to mentors, how well do you think you've helped your mentoree? They always score very low.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I don't think mentorees give feedback to their mentors, and it is a phenomenon. A lot of mentors come out of sessions thinking, well, how did it go today? I'm not sure. And mentors do need that reinforcement as well. It's a good point that's been made.
Yeah.
What do you think, Rennie, about mentoring agreement, formally or informally?
Well, I think that it ought to be whatever makes sense for the couple, to how formal they make it. I don't know in an informal relationship it has to be as clear as we may do it in a formal program where you actually have a document and you do that, although I certainly would encourage that. But at least have, I would say, at least a couple of agreement points that you can probably put down and say, this is what we agreed to. And that may tend to be counterintuitive to people who are engaged in a kind of a natural relationship, but it really does protect the relationship. It's valuable to be clear, and being clear, and, you know, it's an enormous example earlier where the person met two or three times, but they didn't know where they were going, and they ended. You just got to spend the time initially to build this structure that's going to support what you want to do. And it doesn't take a lot of time, and you don't need a lot of structure, but you need some of those ground rules that Sue mentioned, Nora mentioned, that we've talked about, to make the relationship work, and that's what it needs. And I know we're running low on time, so before we end, I did want to indicate, first of all, I want to thank my guests, Norma and Sue, from Monster.com, and I do highly encourage people to visit that website, Monster.com, to be able to get a lot of really good and valuable information about career development and mentoring, as well as other services you provide. And I also want to put a plug for ourselves. We will be putting out MentorQuest, which will be a unique and innovative and interesting way of helping you find a mentor, which will be available in the February-March timeframe. And anybody interested can go to our website, www.management-mentors.com, and sign up for our newsletter, and we'll be kept informed as we develop that in the near future. Because I just want to make sure we got that in before we run out of time. And we still have a few minutes left, so other final thoughts you want to share about finding a mentor?
Well, I think the biggest thing as someone who is the mentee is, you know, giving the follow-up. Like here, and I think Sue had mentioned it earlier, but here's what I did based on what you told me, and here's what the outcome was. Mm-hmm. And that's going to help you, you know, continue to shape the relationship, as well as, you know, that's just a huge part of giving back.
Yep.
And I think that even if when you're saying that, here's what I did and here was the outcome, even if the outcome wasn't good, you can still share positively what did I learn from it.
Exactly.
You know, because it may not have worked out well, but you still that what that mentor suggests that you did was probably still a great learning experience for you.
Absolutely. And on that note, then we have to end. Again, thank you all for joining us today on this program, Mentoring Matters. And we look forward to having you join us next week where we're talking about return on investment in mentoring. For now, this is Rainey Petrin saying goodbye.
Thank you for joining Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson of Mentoring Matters, mentoring in today's business world. If you'd like to learn more about mentoring, visit management-mentors.com. And be sure to tune in every Friday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Business Channel. See you next week.